Good morning. I'll call this meeting to order. And with one correction on the minutes, on the front page and the very top, my title here is Vice Chair. And other than that, we have no other corrections. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Weiler, second by Guida. Seeing no additions, deletions, or corrections, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ongoing performance audits, Board of Dental Examiners.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll just briefly go over where we are with these four projects we're working on. The Board of Dental Examiners, we are trying to wrap up field work. We're chasing down a few outstanding items that have been requested, but we're well into the observation writing, and several observations have been provided to the board and to OPLC, and we're going back and forth with them on that. We're hoping to have a draft report sometime in January with a presentation to fiscal in the February-March timeframe. That's what we're shooting for. The next one is child care licensing. We had an entrance back in May. Field work is still ongoing with that. And we're beginning to outline and draft observations. And the timing on that is going to be similar to dental. We're looking at a draft before the end of the year, and hopefully a presentation of fiscal in February, depending upon how the observation and the responses, the back and forth goes. The third project is new on the agenda. This, during the last legislative session, Chapter 91:454, it's the medical insurance subsidy account review. We had some staff availability, so we began to do some research and background work on that. And we are conducting interviews with applicable parties, Department of Administrative Services, New Hampshire Retirement System, around the whole medical insurance subsidy and how all that is working. So that's ongoing. And the staff that was slated for the Bureau of Elderly and Adult is working on that project. But on the Choices for Independence audit, that is currently on hold. We did have an entrance meeting back in September. And at the request of HHS, they asked for a delay because of workload resource demands, because they are in the middle of their renewal of the CIF waiver, as well as it came to our attention of two pretty significant legal proceedings and lawsuits that are central to the audit topic at hand. So in light of some due diligence we had to do on that, we our work is on hold at the moment.
Looking for a motion to suspend.
Second.
Motion by Hennessy, second by Weiler. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will support this motion to suspend, noting that based upon information, it will be prudent for us to continue that once the litigation is over. And just with that for the record, I'm happy to support this motion. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other comments, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So that's suspended. Our earned time credits for inmates being efficiently and effectively administered by Department of Corrections. No, that's...
So we're on topic number three, or on the agenda, and we have two topics that came to me. One was this earned time credit, and the other is the special education dispute resolution process that came out of a study committee. We have done no work or any background on either one of these, but we do need a topic probably soon as possible, so for the team that's doing the nod on it can start working on in December.
Okay.
Got a call from Donna Sitek on the parole board, and she pointed out that now they have some courses that they can do on a tablet, and there's nobody to check to see if they've completed it. She said they could
Am I on at all? All right. All right. Donna Sitek told me that they were courses they could do on a tablet. They could complete them in an afternoon and get several days off their sentence by completing these. There was nobody to check and see if, in fact, the work had been done or hadn't been done by a different person than the one that was asking for the time off. So she thought this was a good idea to take a look at how this was done. I see we have people here from corrections. They may want to comment, if the chair allows.
Do the auditors have any interest in comments?
We haven't done anything.
Haven't done anything yet.
We haven't done any research, so
there's nothing to talk about.
Just one. My comment might be, Mr. Chair, that I'm not sure that this rises to the level of investigation that a performance audit would do. I think an answer to this could best be done by perhaps the department doing it itself. Given the limited resources of the audit folks, and the fact that this really isn't an in-depth dive into performance, it's more a dive or a look at recording and verification. Thank you.
Who requested the audit?
Well, the email that came in, you forwarded an email to me on this topic probably a month ago, and I'm not sure who the person was who was interested in it.
Was it someone from corrections that? No, I didn't think so.
It may have been the parole board or a member of the parole board.
That sounds.
It was a name I can't remember now.
Could have been Donna.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. She sent it to you.
Don't remember. I'm old. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would it be appropriate to ask the parole, the corrections people to perhaps opine briefly on whether they can take care of this issue and present information?
Sure.
Mr. Chair, while the commissioner's coming up, just quickly, item number 3 and 4 in the agenda, they're just, like I said, we're searching for further work to do. So we've just put these on here. They're not pending. They're not in our queue. They're just topics that have been brought to our attention, either through email or through past conversations that the committee has either dealt with. So that's the purpose of these.
I'll address the second one. Commissioner Hanks, good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Helen Hanks. I'm the commissioner of the Department of Corrections.
We don't have this technology in my office. For the record, Helen Hanks, commissioner of the Department of Corrections. Thank you for the opportunity to respond to the question. During COVID, we did deploy through our tablet technology some learning management opportunities. We actually can verify someone's participation. We know the learning objectives, and there were a cluster of courses they had to complete, not just one. For example, there is a cluster of courses called Correctional Rehabilitation Institute. And I did I did send some information to the Adult Parole Board because they did have some questions that made it to my desk recently. So we started a dialogue together, and I am in the process of scheduling a meeting with the Adult Parole Board to show them the learning management system and allay concerns they might have, if that helps this committee on this topic. But every single application comes to my desk, and if it can't be confirmed, I don't sign it.
Okay. So would a performance audit would not be of value to the Department of Corrections?
I don't think this particular topic would have value.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
The next item, I had the good fortune to be the chairman of the HB 581 study committee to resolve the resolution process for the disputes arising from the individualized education program meetings for special education students. The testimony is in those binders there, and the reports of typically parents were so disappointing and so discouraging to think of the amount of money being spent on special education, to have people come in and say they weren't getting special education services even when they had been successfully ordered in the individualized education programs. So, from my experience of 16 years with the Performance Audit and Oversight Committee, I said, this sounds like a job for the auditors to find out what's going on, since I couldn't get anybody to answer or give a straight answer to the committee. So that was my suggestion, and it was pretty well received by the other members of that committee, to proceed with a performance audit of the system that awards state and federal and local dollars to people who are supposed to be taking children with special needs and getting them to a point where they can effectively compete with their peers when they finally hit the streets from hopefully receiving a high school education. Lucy?
I just had a question, which was, as an individual, please. Well, I have a
question. Is that better?
Yes.
Sorry. Thank you for the reminder. As the question is written, it looked like it would be focusing on the actual dispute resolution process. And as you were speaking, it sounded to me like you were speaking more of, are we using the dollars effectively? And I just wondered if there was a clarification as to which direction people were thinking that they wanted to go in.
There was a lot of information, and no clear path was apparent. So I thought, these are the people that can interrogate to the truth. I don't know if that...
Well, I'm just wondering how we would phrase that and whether... Because what I have in writing in front of me is very narrow and looking at
right.
The dispute resolution when a parent disagrees. I'm assuming that that means when the parent disagrees with what the school district is offering, and the parent has to go to bat for different services or more services or whatever it is. And that's I'm fine with it if that's what's wanted is the dispute resolution part of it. But it did sound to me like you were talking a little bit more about how the funds were used to begin with. So I just didn't know which one. And I don't know whether that's something that can be explored a wee bit as you're thinking about a scope statement or...
I thought it would get focused as the scope statement is developed. So.
Which I'm...
Yeah, I think you're correct. I mean, dispute resolution would be a very narrow topic. You know, I'm guessing, you know, 6-8 months, they could, you know, we could probably do that. If you're talking about the whole system of special ed, then it's one of those big audits that we do, which will, you know, could go for a year or more. You know, if we look at all aspects of it. Now, you could ask us to come back with different scope state, like questions. Some would be narrow, some would be big, and you could choose out of that. You know, sort of that
that
background document that we've done recently,
right.
Where we
I
give you some options.
Very helpful, because I think that way it will help us focus on what exactly we want to, because I'm, you know, the narrow issue I think is more manageable and it's certainly a start, but you know, having a variety of options to work on, I'm perfectly happy to go ahead with this just as a preliminary.
Yeah. And also might have been involved in a dispute. I was involved a few years ago with a study committee because in the charter schools, the sending district still has the responsibility for paying for the special ed, not the charter school, although the charter schools have some programs that they do, and they collect the money from the... And there's a wide range of how this is done. In some cases, I remember that there were those that were... coded for anxiety, once they went to a charter school, did no longer seem to have anxiety problems once they're in the different schools. So but the fact that there were always a constant interplay between the public school where the student resided and the charter school, if the child was in an IEP the sending district was supposed to pay for it, always became a topic of argument, if you will. So, you know, that might even have been part of the dispute. So I can see that as being another area that would be involved that would need a look. Thank you.
So there's a rather perverse incentive set up in the current system that rewards the school district when they can deny the benefit. And that's where the dispute comes from. And we have children, fourth grade children, who can't read at all. And the school says, there's no problem here. it involves the Primex winds up paying when a school district loses a dispute. And there are too many attorneys that appear at IEP meetings, and then somebody read the law and said they can't even be there. but they're there all the time. So that's the kind of thing that we were not going to resolve in a study committee. Yes.
Do you need a motion to move this, to ask the auditors to do the scoping document for this?
Well, we'll need a motion, yeah.
Okay.
To ask them.
I will make that motion then.
Second. Okay. Senator Kahn, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator. I happen to sit on the Special Education Advisory Council, and I know that you signed in, and maybe you sat through. I don't know how much of that meeting. It was a long meeting. They go on.
I went to the end, contrary to my policy.
So one of the things that was on that agenda is a report that they have done recently about dispute resolution for special education. Just to say, there are a lot of hands in this already. And as our LBA staff starts to flesh this out, I mean, I have no problem with our motion, which I understand is let's move it to the next step of trying to get the scope statement drafted so that we can look at it and discuss it. That makes sense to me. But I think there are interviews you need to have in developing that scope statement with people who lead that Special Education Advisory Committee and the Department of Education Special Education Bureau. We don't want to duplicate effort, right? I mean,
there's too much unexpended effort in this problem. So I don't think we're duplicating anything, but we keep getting it sidetracked. And no offense to the legal profession, but they're doing a great job on their end denying benefits. So.
I don't, could you explain that?
No.
Okay, never mind. Later.
Okay, we have a motion by Hennessy, a second by Guida to proceed with the development of the scope statement for the dispute resolution and other as yet undiscovered problems with the special education process. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on to tabled audit topics.
Well, I think we got the attention on the one I put in for retirement system investments. They posted record returns this year. Up to 26 or 28% returns, whereas they've been running at something less than the 6.75 that they've been claiming. And, you know, I thought, what's going wrong here? And suddenly they're able to get it moved forward. So we got their attention anyway, and hopefully it will stay at a high level, which all the other investment people have been able to do. So just a comment. Thank you.
Bob?
Does it require a motion to, I'd be willing to move to, for lack of it, cancel that audit, if that's appropriate?
Yeah, I think you had voted on it before to go forward, then we held it before it went to fiscal. So now if you voted to suspend
terminate.
It or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would so move. To terminate this particular audit.
Suspend it or terminate it?
I'd leave it to the discretion of the committee. To me, terminate means we're not I'm not going to do it. Suspend means we hold it in abeyance.
Well, I think it never went to fiscal, so it never really became a true audit topic yet. So I think you could terminate the topic. Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion to terminate that topic. Second by Khan. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mental health workforce development, also on hold. Is there anyone to speak to that? Jay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I continue to have a lot of interest in this. I think that this is a statewide problem. I think that this is evolving. There is a compact that's underway nationally. This is something that the legislature has encouraged the state to do. And that might provide some benefit for recruiting from out of state, ease that process. But the number, I mean, we continue to expect better outcomes, but without the workforce, I don't know how that occurs. So I think having some insight into what are those barriers to the workforce, lack of incentives, poor salary, caseloads that are ridiculously high. Who's disadvantaged in all of this? Is it Medicaid recipients, or is it private commercial pay? I doubt that it's the latter, but it probably is the former. So I think that there, this workforce issue is an obstacle to us achieving our goals. I'd love to see some data and information that would clarify some routes for the state to address it.
Senator Gaida.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's nothing exclusive about the mental health workforce shortage. It's across the entire bandwidth of employment in the state. I can tell you, I think one of the single largest barriers is the 4,000-hour requirement to get a licensed clinical social worker license in the state. State of Oregon and numbers of other states have intermediate levels of licensure that enable the engagement of developing professionals that are on their way to a master's degree or have a bachelor's in psychology or whatever to engage in that workforce. That's a huge barrier. And I know personally, for example, my daughter's leaving this state and going to Oregon, where she will be practicing, but she can't get a license here because 4,000 hours is like 4 years or whatever of work before you can work without supervision. So that's a huge barrier. I think that's probably the single biggest. The second being, of course, the general labor shortage in every category. So I'm not sure that studying this is really necessary at this point. I would favor holding it, but it's not a surprise. And I think, again, the barrier is the licensure issue more than anything else. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ken.
Interesting that Rockingham County meeting, the information came up. Rockingham County has gone through a education process and offered training to MNAs, RN, LPNs, and so on to get up to RN and move to higher level. And what they require, if we're going to help pay for your education, you've got to sign a contract for 2 years or pay us back for the education. And so people come around and poach those people that we have trained and then pay the money for their education rather than let that person serve out their 2 years that they supposedly are obliged to. So it's amazing the stuff that's going on in this field.
So this speaks more to a legislative fix. And we know what the problem is.
Yeah.
We don't need to investigate that. So how do we fix, or how do we attempt to fix it? But if it's, Jay.
And having tried, you know, to push on these different things, you know, the licensure question or Senate questions, I don't think that there's a clear legislative fix. I think, you know, maybe studying what do other states do to project their workforce.
Lucy.
I'm very sympathetic with the problem because it's a horrible one. But my concern here is, and I think it's very well worthy of study, but I'm not sure. It seems to me that normally when we have a performance audit, we have a statutory program in place or a statutory mandate already in place. And what is being measured by the department is whether the department is doing what the legislature thought they were asking the department to do. And this sounds to me much more like a broader inquiry into all the realms of the possibility. And I'm not sure, and I would be glad to have some comment from the actual auditors as to whether this is something that is an appropriate subject for audit or for different sort of study.
I think I follow your logic there. I mean, we could look at how well the program is providing services, and let's just guess they're having problems providing services.
That's a given.
One of the problems might be labor, and that's how. But it would be a cause of the problem. Yeah, and I think you're right. What the legislature does to try to fix the labor pool is probably not a performance audit. That's a committee, study committee, or something like, or a task force. And I'm trying to remember, was there a task force on this issue already? I know one of the topics that we talked about this summer, and it might have been this one or another one, there was a task force in place looking at it, but I can't remember if this was the one. I don't know if anyone here remembers.
I'm not sure of that. I know that we're forming a committee. I'll be the senior Senate name member to look at wage parity between private and public sector CFI providers, sort of along the same line. But again, I think that Representative Weber's comments are very appropriate. There's really no metric here. What are we measuring? We're not measuring performance. We're trying to scope out what the factors are that are causing a problem. That is more in the line of legislative action, I would think. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Right. So as long as I've been here, the boards of mental health, which appear to have bad mental health, always block entry. They're probably the strongest entry blockers to a profession that we have in the state. So that would tend to a legislative fix.
Yeah. How did we, if I might, I did, curiosity, how did we approach the...
Pressure right there.
Working. Hot, boom. How did we approach the child care staffing issues?
We have an expert.
Child and family. That's sort of why I'm asking. But we had that that ratio that was so out of whack with standards. I'm just curious, how did we approach that to move towards the establishing a better ratio?
What seemed, as you were talking and as you talked about the licensing of mental health workers, I was wondering if maybe we should look at the appropriateness of the licensing regulations, which is what we're doing in child care. Are we meeting what does the law say? What does the law say about licensing? So, I hope that's what we're doing, that's what we're looking at in the child care area.
But are you doing that as an that's not happening as an audit, that's happening as a... Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, it is. Okay, never mind.
Well, that's a model then.
Do you have a recommended course of action? Or
perhaps I would move that we have a similar type of scope statement drafted up for consideration at the next meeting, along the lines of the way the child care licensing unit scope statement went, because, I mean, what people are talking about here is the issue of the actual licensing requirements. So it seems to me like that's a similar case to what we were already doing in another sphere. So I would move that if somebody wants to second it.
Okay, we have a motion to...
So that would be the licensing of, we'll say, social workers and other, I guess, related...
Mental health professionals.
Mental health professionals. Okay, that's the help.
Okay, motion, second.
So what's the motion, if I may?
The motion is to request a scope statement from performance auditors about the topic.
And it was specifically similar to the way we're looking at the child care licensing unit.
Well, the child care licensing unit, we're really looking at how efficient and effective are they in licensing the centers, and how, you know, are they doing it timely? Are they doing the renewal? It's not looking at any of the, if I don't know if people are certified to. Well, they are, because, right, but we're not really looking at the professional aspect of it. It's more the DHHS oversight of the centers.
Okay. Well, I think what I was thinking of, and others may be thinking differently, and I'm perfectly happy to go with a different direction, is perhaps a series of questions, as we were speaking about with the other audit, but specifically focusing in on the appropriateness of licensing, and because that seems to be what people are saying is the issue here. I would defer to Senator Kahn if he has better language.
I think that Mr. Chairman, I think that this discussion has helped flesh out as much as we can today. I think licensing is one of those workforce issues. It is statutory, and you know, is it a process or is it the requirement? And I do think that this needs to be looked at more broadly than just the Mental Health Act. There are a number of licensed positions that serve the mental health needs of people in New Hampshire, and I think it's going to have to look at LADICs and MADICs and psychologists and mental health workers. How do we stand on those? I mean, it can't pick out one and not look at the broader question.
Senator Hennessey.
Thank you. So just for my clarification, would the motion be that we're auditing to make sure that the boards are following the rules properly when they are certifying and licensing?
Well, I think that there's a more broad thought than just that. And I think that one of the questions as I'm listening to the debate here is, first of all, how efficient the boards are in administering the procedures that we already have. That's item number one, and that's certainly, you know, within the statutory scheme of things. But I think that beyond that, there may be scope for something a little broader in terms of, you know, more what Senator Kahn was talking about at the beginning about appropriateness of our, you know, I'm not sure you go to the appropriateness of our requirements, because that seems to me to be an upfront legislative thing rather than a performance audit thing. But I would appreciate very much having the department dig into it a little bit and see and come up with some questions, and perhaps we could then either broaden or narrow as the case might be.
This might not be the most popular. I'm going to oppose this because we're asking this committee or this audit folks to do what a study committee or commission is supposed to be doing. Okay, and their focus is not study committees. Their focus is on performance.
Right.
So, you know, I would be willing to support a motion to look into mental health workforce licensure requirements and procedures, but I don't think that workforce development is anywhere in the purview of the audit folks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Would you second that, Lucy?
I would be okay with licensure and procedure. I'll withdraw my motion and we'll start over.
Okay.
I would certainly support what Senator Guida suggested.
Okay.
So if that's a second, I'm seconding it.
All right.
Ken.
One of the things that performance audit section does that we don't quite often do in study committees is look at all the other states and what the other states do and what's best practices. And you know, I've been impressed with what they've found in previous audits when they start comparing it nationwide with what other states do. And I think that's one of the things that might be the strength in this audit is to find out who's successful, where's the most success, and what did they do different, and that sort of thing. And I think that's one thing that I've been impressed with that the audit division has done. Thanks.
And I'm just going to say, I'm apologizing, but I'm going to have to step out. So I'm leaving people to go on.
Okay. Bob, would you restate?
Sure. The motion is to proceed with the mental health licensure requirements and procedures, a performance audit review of the mental health licensure requirements and procedures, inclusive of a comparative look at other states and what they do and how they do it.
Okay, motion by Guida, second by Weber. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Weatherization program.
I think perhaps there's some new money coming out that's, and we don't know all the details of this latest so-called infrastructure plan, and this is going to be changing even as we discuss it, so maybe it's too soon to look at that.
So we'll leave it where it is.
Yes.
Fixed wing aircraft program.
Pretty narrow. I think we have one airplane, and I'm not even sure if we still have it.
So, can we leave that where it is?
Leave it is. Leave it where it is.
Other business.
I'd like to just clarify. We have, I'm going to call it, we have a mini scope, which is sort of an internal document that we've been doing for just this last year. Then we have the real scope statement that we produce after the fiscal committee approves a topic. So I just want to make sure of the two topics that we discussed, which ones are they? It sounded like the first one, you wanted us to come back with some options for you. So I would call that a mini scope, meaning we will not send it to fiscal yet. You still wanted to get the right audit question. The second topic sounded like you really came up with a question, and it sounded more like that one's ready to go to fiscal for us to then produce, we'll say, the real scope statement. That's just my interpretation of what happened. I want to make sure that the committee sees it that way.
I have a question for you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you looking for something to bring to fiscal now because you need?
It would be nice to have at least one topic ready to go for a team when they get done with that special project. They could start in on something. I mean, they're going to have to still do background on that special ed topic because that you want that fleshed out. So, but by February, we're going to have people, two audits will be coming to a close. we're going to have audits ready, auditors ready to work. So it'd be nice to have one thing ready and then another one later on.
Cool.
Okay.
So do you want the mental health professional licensure, is that, that sounded more like that's ready to go to fiscal?
Yes.
Okay, that's, okay. I just want to make sure we,
all right,
we have to, we'll have to sign a letter today, mm-hmm, to get it on the fiscal meeting next week. So we'll work on that just right after the meeting.
Okay. Bob.
Yeah, on the fixed-wing aircraft program, as I'm recalling, I think I had asked for some form of a comparison between the costs of operating that as a state-owned or leased aircraft with state pilots as opposed to a private sector entity providing the very same services, placing an officer in the back with a radar gun to zap the cars or to fly whatever is necessary in search and rescue or executive transport. I don't think that would be terribly difficult to do.
When I was doing the minutes for this meeting, I noticed that you had talked about it at the last meeting,
right,
and that you wanted some information from the Department of Safety. And I did contact them last week and gave them a heads up about your interest and the cost. I think it was just the cost of how much it costs to run the program. You were concerned about, you know, to get the airplane if they own it, the cost involved with that. So they're going to get together some information for us, for the committee, and I'll make sure you get a copy of it. So there's been a little bit of work done, or there will be work done probably by December, January.
Thank you.
Okay. Other business.
Yeah, the only other business is last meeting you thanked us for our impact award that we received. Past practice is that this committee sends a letter to fiscal just telling them about it. So I have a letter here for your review, but just to make sure the committee knows that you'll be doing that.
Okay. So the next meeting will be call of the chair. And seeing no other business, this meeting is adjourned.
Good. Thanks. That's good wording.
Just remember me and your wife.
Yeah.
Hello.
Aaron. Thank you.
Okay. Pilot program, and it sounds like they're going to.
Yeah, I mean,
seeing like they
Becky's really the one pushing it, just like supporting her.
The pilot program really makes us they can.
Yep.
That's what.
Yeah.
That would
yeah,
be
I didn't
one
like
the
fiscal note that we got. So I just
honestly.
So I just want to see what the.
No, they need, it might they need to
that.
Do it for real.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I talked to it's always going to be. Well, this is the way I figure it. And you're going to say, well, this is the way I figure it.
Yeah.
So what you really need to do, you really need to do a pilot.
Yes.
What it really is going to cost. So, okay.
Yeah, and the workforce development, there is there's a lot of stuff going around legislatively and ARPA-wise that is going to help pick that, not the child care, but the other work helping us. And put $5 million in SLRP.
Yeah. No, I think. Thank you. Yeah. All the charges is going to help. A lot. Not really.
Yes,
it is.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I feel like since 10 years ago, where did everybody go?
Where did they go? I mean, we were childcare. I mean, we were having problems.
Yes.
Before.
Yes. Yeah,
but not like this. Not like I went back to work.
You did. I mean, it's a great job. I love it. 2 hours a day. Somebody was in a fraternity. He comes in and opens the daycare center. So somebody's got to open it. So.
This department does not obey its own rules or the laws of the state.
I know from just discussion people who own businesses or chambers or whatever, especially in my area, there were seniors. So let's say it's a